There's no greater thing in life than to surrender all to Jesus. And you know, when you surrender all to Jesus, you won't be a loser. You can be sure of that. I have a little prayer card with me. I don't want to have to carry them all around Route 66. So they're sitting down here. If any of you would like to take one, and you can pray for myself and Trevor as we work over there in Northern Ireland, we sure would appreciate your prayers, because we know that God not only hears, but he answers prayers. And he's going to answer prayers here today for all those ladies who stood and who poured their heart out before God. God has heard, and God is going to answer their prayers. We're reading from Philippians chapter 2. And I was just thinking of a couple of little sayings that we have in Ireland that maybe you wouldn't use over here. As you're looking up Philippians chapter 2, if I was to walk up to you and ask you what's the crack, would you know what I was talking about? Would you think I was talking about cocaine or something like that? It means what's going on or what are you up to? And then there's another one, you'll never plough a field by turning it over in your mind. Now you realise that you will never plough a field by turning it over in your mind. And I want to tell you something, ladies, you're never going to get real with God by turning it over in your mind. You need to do something about it. You need to put feet to your thoughts, and you need to get out and you need to start something. You need to be active and doing something for God. And then we have another one. Would you quit the maggoting about? Now, do you know what that means? Quit acting the maggot. Stop your carrying on. And ladies, stop carrying on in this prayer advance and get real with God. And get before him in your quiet times, and don't be talking nonsense out in the corridors. You're not here to talk about the shopping malls and all that. You're here to get to know God in a more intimate way. So quit acting the maggot. I have plenty more I could give you, but we're not here for that purpose. We're here to gather around the Word of God in order that our relationship might go deeper with him. So Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we bless you this afternoon, that as we come before you, we come before a God who hears and who answers our prayers. And Father, you have heard the prayers that have gone around this auditorium and the needs of all these ladies whose prayers has been presented before thee. Now, Father, we ask, not for our sake, but for the sake of Jesus, that those prayers will indeed be answered, that souls would know that God has drawn graciously near, and that God is in absolute control of all things. So we commit it to you, and we bless you for the comfort to know that there will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we pray that in this place that there won't be one, and for them there will be kneeling, but it'll be too late. Lord, help each one of us to bend the knee right now and to know that we are in a right place with God. For we ask it for Jesus' sake and for his glory alone. Amen. Now, I believe we're living in a self-serving world. You might think by self-serving, I mean you go into the restaurant and you heap your plate full as much food that you want, but that's not what I'm talking about. Everything we seem to do in this world is directed towards our own comforts. We are busy. We are busy doing things that means absolutely nothing for eternity. We are stuck and we are sucked into the rat race of life. And Christians have become so like the world that we have got to the place where we can hardly tell which is which. We are doing things that have no eternal value. We have our shopping days. We all love a shopping day, don't we? I love shopping for dresses. So we have shopping days. We ponder the shelves. And we ponder the stalls for hours upon hours. We have our spa days. And who doesn't like those? And we pamper ourselves from head to toe. We have our social events with friends and with family. We have meals out. Meals out in Ireland are a real treat. You know that. We don't eat out. We all cook at home. We eat healthy. We try to. And whenever we go out to a restaurant for a meal, it's a real treat. Because it's really expensive to eat out at home. What would cost you $50 here would probably cost us $150 at home. So we don't eat out very often. But we like to go out with our families and have social gatherings and meals. And our diaries are so full that we find ourselves left with little or no time for the service of the King. We ask ourselves the question, are we servants? Yes, we are. But sadly, we are serving self. And today, if you are saved, if you are born again into the kingdom of God, by the virtue of that, friends, you ought to be a servant who has a new master. But sadly not. Many seem to know, and many seem to want all the pleasures that the world has to give to them. And the service of the master is something that's put on the back burner, if you understand what that means. There's not many embrace the great fact that whenever you get saved, you have a new master. There's not many wants it, and there's not many desires it. But there is one thing that God wants and desires for you, my friend, and that is that you might have a servant's heart. That you might have a servant's heart. You might wonder, what is a servant's heart? Is it doing what Martha did, running around the kitchen and cooking and baking and hospitality? And how do I get a servant's heart? And you might even ask, is it really for me? You know, Paul sets out in the passage of Scripture which we read, the path to a true servant's heart. And I want to seek to highlight a number of ways, friends, a number of areas that will help us realize and achieve this for and in our own lives. Firstly, ladies, let us see the humility of the servant's heart. God's word clearly states that Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. You know, you do not enter into God's work with a big head. And if you do, you'll soon get it knocked off. But the Lord Jesus placed himself entirely at the disposal of his Father's will. You know, the Hebrew word for servant means a person at the disposal of another. To carry out that person's will. To do that person's work. To represent his interests, to fulfill a mission. And you'll only do that if you're getting paid, of course. I don't think so, friends. A servant doesn't work for pay. When you're working for the Master, your pay will be the well done of God. We as God's servants, you know, when I say we, I mean all of us in this room today. Those of us, that is, those of us who are truly born again of the Spirit of God. We need to recognize that we are not the most important person ever walked on this earth. But we ought to be as our Master. Not come to be ministered to, but to minister. We ought to be saying to one another, I am among you as one that serves. Because friends, when we serve one another, in essence, we are serving God. You know, humility is more defined by actions rather than words. It's seen in our attitude to one another. So friends, let's prefer one another above ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to see past self. Well, if self is all right, well then everything else is all right. Ah, ladies, if we don't get over self, then we can never be used by God. Because the Word of God says that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. There's times when God's hand is upon us. There's times when God's hand is heavy upon us. And we misinterpret what God is doing. And we can grow hard and arrogant and even rebellious towards God and His Word, which exhorts us that we are to humble ourselves. Remember being in a prayer meeting one time, and my husband was going to preach, and there was a wee old woman, and she was praying. We were in the prayer meeting, and she was praying away like Guido, and she says, Lord, she says, humble that wee preacher. And my husband shouted, Lord, don't answer that prayer. Because I want to tell you, friends, nowhere in Scripture does it say that we are to pray for God to humble us. The Word of God says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. It's possible that some here today need to take themselves by the scruff of the neck. Do you know how to take yourself by the scruff of the neck? And friends, you need to take a humble place. Our highest place is lying low, seeking no other glory only than that of our Master. Far too often the words from our lips and the words of individuals are what I believe, what I think, when all the time we ought to be crying from our hearts, speak, Lord, because thy servant hear it. Doesn't matter what I believe, doesn't matter what I think, I need to hear from heaven, and I need to know the mind of God. What would you have me to do? Ladies, are you willing to humble yourself as servants of the Lord in order that you might win others to Jesus? Humble yourself outside of your relatives and your family and show friendliness, kindness, and hospitality to strangers. We had a couple went out onto the mission field and they come back and they were given a report. And the girl stood up and she stood before our congregation and she said when she went to this church, it was a large church. And next thing is she started to cry and she says, nobody invited me for dinner. And I went to her afterwards and I says, you know, God called you to serve. You were called out to that country to serve the people. So don't you expect them to invite you to dinner. You invite them. Amen. Oh, she didn't take it well. She told me I didn't understand the culture. I understand the culture. I understand God's culture. Friends, do you realize if you and me continue to be filled with self, there will be no room left for the concerns of others? John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We read there in that passage that we have just read, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, to have the mind of Christ Jesus, the one who humbled himself. And friends, those who follow him must do likewise. Humbling themselves. Humbling ourselves for the sake of others. The humility of the servant's heart. But what about the honesty of the servant's heart? You know, it can be a difficult thing to be honest with ourselves, never mind honest with others. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we just think to ourselves, I'm the most beautiful thing on earth. And somebody could come behind us and say, well, actually, I think you're the most ugliest person on earth. Friends, it's difficult to be honest with ourselves. But for a moment, will you allow the Spirit of God to come and examine your heart in this place? Because before you can become a servant of God, before you become a workman in his vineyard, you must first of all become his child through faith. Now, as you're sitting here in a prayer advance, it's very easy for every one of us to assume that you are born again of the Spirit of God. But you're sitting somewhere in the midst of this sea of women, and you know fine well that your heart is not right with God. You know that you're walking a life that's not pleasing to him, even though you've everybody else's food. There's far too much pretense in the church of God. If you look the part, if you act the part, well, then you're accepted as being the genuine article, when the truth is that many, many in our land are not saved. Oh, may you be honest here today. Honest before yourself and honest before God. Can I ask, are you saved? As believers, we need to be real and truthful with ourselves, because we too can live that hypocritical lifestyle. We must identify and realize areas in our lives that may be a real hindrance in the work of God. Example, pride. There's many a Christian and their hearts are swelled with pride. To have a false assessment of who they are, thinking themselves better than others. Standing on the street corner, oh, thank God I'm not like that man. And did you see what she did? I would never dream of doing that. Maybe you've arrived to a false assessment because you've experienced some form of blessing and some movement of God in your walk. Well, I want to tell you that that is not sufficient evidence, and most certainly it's not an affirmation by God that you have arrived. Let me assure you, there is much more mileage for you and me to cover. In our churches today, the greatest problem are those who are not kingdom-minded. They are not heavenly kingdom-minded. Oh, I've seen it all too often. Individuals, and look at ladies, don't stone me, but I'm going to tell you this because it is a fact. Women especially, building their own kingdoms within the church. Not necessarily concerned with the work, but concerned with their work. This, my friend, is the ruination of many fellowships. Kingdom builders. Kingdom builders found in organizations, found in committees, found in our leaders, and yes, even found in our pastors' wives. Just think back to your last committee meeting in your church. Visualize it in your mind. What happened? What went on? Just think to the last members' meeting. Think of the disputes going on within your church setting. Can I ask what is really at the heart of all of this conflict? Is it you? Or is it someone else trying to get their own way? Oh, God forbid that it would be any in this auditorium here today. My way or no way. We have a saying in Ireland, it's my way or the highway. May God forbid. Can I say, ladies, don't look at the faults and failures of others, but rather seek God and ask by the aid of the Holy Spirit that you will be enabled to identify your own faults and your own failures. God cannot and God will not use someone who thinks that they are always right and that everyone else is always wrong. This attitude affects how things are done. It affects when things are done. And it also affects who does them. Do you remember God when he said destroy the Amalekites? Sorry. It's this old Southern Irish tongue of mine. Sometimes it just doesn't quite get around the words. And yet we read these words, what meanest thou, the bleating of the sheep? And Saul in his lion heart, he said, we kept the best for sacrifice. But friends, they were not told to keep the best for sacrifice. They were instructed, they were commanded, destroy. And Samuel responded by saying, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Saul was not honest with himself. He was not honest with God's servant. And nor was he honest with God. He found all kinds of justifiable arguments and reasons. And it was everyone's fault, only his own. It was even God's fault. Ladies, I wonder, is there anyone here and they're feeling that this is strangely familiar to them? Our service ought not to be eye service as man pleasers. God forbid the day when I become a man pleaser. But our service to God ought always be a heart service. In honesty and in truth. The humility of the servant's heart. The honesty of the servant's heart. But what about the hunger of the servant's heart? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And can I remind you of our reading where it says again, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. You know, if you were to study the human heart, you would see it has to work very hard at pumping your blood around your body. I wear at home, I wear a Fitbit. Is that what you call them here? Tells you many steps you've taken. Many miles you run. I don't run any. Mine is recorded, no mileage I'm running. But it has the steps. The most I've ever done was about 28,000 steps one day. It was a very busy day. Boy, my heart was pumping. Beating 10 to the dozen. And then you rest and you relax and your heart slows down and it doesn't pump so hard. You know, in the work of God, we acknowledge that there is a time to rest, there is a time to relax. And ladies, yes, there is a time to shop, and there is a time to go to the spa. There is a time to spend with family and friends and go out for meals. But when there is work to do, and when the going gets tough, that's when the tough gets going. Oh, ladies, to have a hungry heart. Not only would we have blood flowing through our veins, but we would also have a strong desire that would affect every single fibre of our very being, causing us to do the Father's will. Wasn't it Paul who said, the love of Christ constraineth me? In other words, what Paul is really saying is, if you want to know what motivates my work for the Lord, it is this. His love for me and his love through me flowing to others around me. Nothing more, nothing less. For this is enough. Make no mistake, ladies, the king's business requires haste. And don't be sitting back thinking that the king's business is for the men only. God is a work that only you can do. There's a night coming when no man can work. This day of service is a holy privilege which will very soon be passed. And the motivation of the believer ought to be the desire to do the Father's will. The day of grace is well nigh gone, friends, well nigh spent. We've only a short time before his return. So I want us today to rise up and declare that I delight to do thy will, O God. Maybe there's some here and you've lost the delight. You've lost the thrill, you've lost the joy, you've lost the excitement of serving the Lord. Your appetite for service has abated. Sister, maybe you've stopped midstream. Has something happened to you? Did you once put your hand in the plough, but now you're looking back? Perhaps you're feeling a little bit overlooked, and that can happen, let me assure you. You're overlooked, you're ignored. And because of this, you've downed tools. Well, I want to ask you a question. Were you hungering for the praise of men? Was it self-glorification that you were after? What were you looking for? If your motivation and drive as you serve are not because of hunger to please the Lord, if it's not for the glory of God and his kingdom, if it's not for the blessing of man, if it's not for the building up of the kingdom of God, well then surely we can only conclude that we were serving self and not the Lord. Therefore, you cannot have the blessing of the Lord on your service. And you're going to run out of inspiration. And you're going to run out of enthusiasm. Oh, to be hungry for the well done of the Master. You know, a servant is called to serve. And to be faithful, not successful. Or even well thought of. But oh, to be faithful to the one who has called you. We are called to be faithful unto death, and he promises that he will give us the crown of life. So ladies, as I said yesterday, get off your laurels and work as if this will be your last opportunity to serve the Lord. Ask God to give you a hunger to serve him for the right reasons. And when you are serving God for the right reasons, even though discouragement comes, they will not overwhelm you. You know, we all had a lovely lunch. Well, we did, down there in the gymnasium. We had a lovely lunch. And we have a saying in the south of Ireland, I could eat a horse. I couldn't really, and I wouldn't, but we say that, I could eat a horse, I'm starving. And you know, very soon, we're going to start feeling the old rumbling again. And we'll be looking at our watch and we'll be timing tea timing. We'll be just waiting for that old tea because that hunger will be pressing in upon us. Oh, to be the same in the Lord's work. Oh, to hunger for more of God. No matter what blessing we see, no matter how much we sense the presence of the movement of God, may we always be hungry for more and more and more. And as one of old said, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot draw back. The humility, the honesty, the hunger of the servant's heart. But what about the hierarchy of the servant's heart? You know, there's many things that govern our lives. There's many appetites that rule us. And friends, the Word of God says that we are to bring all these things into subjection. We are to do it. We might be praying and asking God to do it, but God says bring your own body into subjection. Many things that rule us, but there truly should only be one hierarchy, and that is Jesus Christ. Friends, if he is your Savior, well then he should be your Lord. And this is the only hierarchy we should adhere to because it is the only one that we will give an answer to. The servant of the Lord will face many situations that are beyond them. There will be many obstacles thrown at them. Didn't the Lord himself say, I sent you out as sheep among the wolves? Oh, and there's times it almost seems as if the wolves are overtaking the sheep and as if they've got the upper hand. And we might well cry, who is sufficient for these things? Surely not me. I remember whenever the Lord called me into Bible college, and I was walking down the corridor, and they used to put the program up on the board, and you'd always go to see what they had you up to do. Now, I was a country bozo, had never spoken in public in my life. I could hardly string two words together, left school when I was 15, still counting on my 10 fingers to try to do my maths. That's the truth. I'm not telling a lie. I'm not saying anything for any other reason other than to let you know what God can do. I still count on my fingers, by the way. And I looked at the board, and there I saw Mrs. Esther Gillanders. 15-minute message in Duncan Street Baptist Church. Well, I went on a rant. And one of the students popped his head around the door, and he says, Esther, are you going to do it? I said, I am not indeed. Well, he says, don't you worry about it. Because I'll tell you, women shouldn't be doing it anyway. He says, I'll do it for you. Oh, boy, that was the wrong thing to say to Esther Gillanders. And in that moment, God spoke to my heart. And God gave me a verse of scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I was walking up the hallway. And I met Dr. Peckham, our principal. And he says, Esther, have you seen your name on the board? I says, Dr. Peckham, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I went to that meeting, and to no glory to myself, there was a soul saved, the very first soul. Now, I had led my two sons to the Lord, but I had never led anybody outside of my family. And there was a soul saved. To God be the glory. Who is sufficient for these things? None of us is sufficient. But our sufficiency, friends, is found in Christ Jesus. Oh, we need to wise up about ourselves and what we can do. And we really need to remember that His grace is always sufficient. Oh, I realized that I had a higher power than the other voices that were shouting in my ear. I had, and I have, one who fights for me. One who stands with me in the face of all conflict, opposition, and obstacles that this world throws at me. So while we are living in this world, we serve in the empowering of the Spirit. We need to die to self, and we need to live unto Christ. And maybe this is where many, and even you, have gone wrong. You're trying to fight in your own strength, and because of this, friends, your energy has been sapped. Your vision has been clouded. Discouragement has set in. And all because, friends, you have not learned the lesson that Paul learned, the lesson that I learned in the corridor of that Bible college over in Edinburgh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Perhaps you're weary and worn and discouraged and feeling weak here today. Take heart, dear friends. Be encouraged, because the one who is our hierarchy, the one who is all-sufficient, he is well able to leak onto your weaknesses, and he offers us the needed grace to bring us through. If we go in our own strength, friends, we may well tremble, but to go in the authority that the great I Am has sent you is indeed sufficient to give you courage, knowing that thus saith the Lord. Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so I send you. You know, this is the highest wisdom, to place ourselves at his disposal, ready for use as he chooses. I want to assure you, friends, there's no greater service or position than serving in his name. No matter what area of service this will bring you into, if you go forth in his name, It's a high calling. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than a king from whom you turn your face and hide. Ladies, somehow or somewhere, a long life's journey, have you lost your focus? Have you forgotten that you too are a servant? Because God's word tells us we are delivered to serve. We are saved to serve. But I want to remind you that if you're in a position where you're feeling weak and ineffective and discouraged, that the word of God says a bruised reed will not crush, smoking flax he will not quench. Oh, you might have failed in the past, but we need to rise up out of the ashes of failure. We need to rise up out of the ashes of coldness and weariness and self-pity. And we need to let him breathe new life into us, new purpose, new motivation into the coldness and the dullness of your servant's heart. And we need to do as the word commands, go work in my vineyard. Now this might be the first time, dear ladies, that you have experienced as a Christian woman that you are to go and work in the vineyard of the Lord. This might be another dimension to your Christian walk. Maybe service never entered into your head, never mind your heart. You thought that this was for the men only. Oh, am I not glad to see that mission board up there? Look at all those ladies, commissioned, commissioned. Look at them. Standing beside their husband, standing with other partners, all commissioned. Now, I wanted to sink into your heart. And I wanted to sink deep into your heart that Christ has called even you. Even you. There is a work that only you can do. I can't tell you what that work is. I can't lay it out for you. The word of God can, and God speaking to your heart. Maybe it's to, there's Yvonne down there. Yvonne is our catering committee manager in our church, and she does an excellent job. God has commissioned her. Maybe God has just called you to stand alongside your husband, to be a help. Oh, but no, you're a hindrance. Whatever that work will be, it's only a work that you can do. And the highest form of worship is service. In other words, you must have a servant's heart. Always allowing his will, his power, and his interests to be accomplished in us and by us. Understanding that it's a great privilege to serve the one who knows us best. So ladies, what are you going to do? Are you going to just come and sit in this auditorium and listen to what God is saying to your heart? Not what Esther Gillanders is saying, but what the word of God is saying. Are you going to allow it to sink into your heart, and are you going to do something about it? Maybe you need to move out of your seat and you need to acknowledge your inactivity and your slothfulness towards the work of God. And maybe you need to come before the Lord in repentance and ask him to refresh your heart, to give you a new vision, to give you a new purpose, to give you even a new calling. Because God's not satisfied with anyone who just sits back and does their own thing. God longs for you to serve him with a pure heart. Not to be taken up front and to be taking the lead and to be lording it over the men. Oh, you do that in the home. You don't have to do it in the church. And I'll tell you, ladies, even that's not biblical. But friends, you're to be a helpmeet if you're married. And for those of you who are not married, God has a work for you to do. Oh, I was so encouraged at the dinner table today. We were sitting with a lady and she was telling us what God had done in her life. And what God was bringing her and the work that God was giving her to do. And just in our daily work, driving a cab, she was telling me, or walking, she does a bit of dog walking, and God is giving her powerful opportunities. And she's taking them. Are you taking every opportunity that God is sending your way? Go work in my vineyard. Because you are his workmanship. And he longs for your service more than anything else. So ladies, I want to ask, what are you going to do with what you have heard? Has the Spirit of God revealed to your heart what you need to do? Let us bow for a word of prayer. And I want us to still your hearts. You know, you can put your pen away some other time. You can put your books away some other time. It's not going to get you anywhere any quicker. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to rob you of the sense of the presence of God. Oh, that you might still your heart. That you might know that he is here. That you might sense the movement of the Holy Spirit of God upon your life and upon this auditorium. That you might know that God is speaking and that God is doing dealings with individuals. And as soon as we announce the amen, you can get up like a clock of hens and you can go out those doors and you can be cackling away and you can just lose everything what God has said. Don't let that happen, friends. If you have to go and find a corner and get before the Lord in prayer, if you want to seek out someone who's going to pray with you and help you with the issues that you're trying to work through, you just simply want somebody to pray with you, when there's enough of us mingling around, we'd be happy to do that. But ladies, don't lose what God has said. My heart is burdened for this prayer advance. That when you leave this place, that you'll continue to advance. And you'll continue to know God working and dealing in your life. And that you'll be able to come back here next year and you'll be able to take this platform and testify to what God has done. So just a moment of stillness and then we're going to pray. Our Father, you've told us to be still and know that thou art God. And yet, Lord, this is something that seems to be lacking in the Christian world today. We don't know how to stand still unless our life is full of activity and unless our life is full of doing and going and talking. Well, then we don't feel as if we are doing anything. But oh, to know what it is to be still in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So still our hearts, O God, we pray thee. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and to hover over us and to examine our hearts and reveal anything within us that needs to be changed and needs to be dealt with. And Father God, we just pray right now that as the enemy perhaps would be lurking in the dark corners, we just come against him in Jesus' name. We ask that you will utterly dispel him and thwart all the plans of the evil one. And Father, if there's any ladies in this place and are feeling in bondage, we pray in Jesus' name that you would gloriously set them free. And Father, we ask as we have looked at the subject of a servant's heart, that each one of us will know what it is to have a servant's heart and that we will be willing to serve one another out of a pure heart. And out of pure motivations. And out of our love for Christ. So Father, we pray that you will come down upon us. We have sensed your presence. And Lord, we almost fear that we will be losing that in the next few moments. So Father, we pray that you will intensify the presence of God in this place. And that you will break down stony, stubborn hearts. And that you will speak to individuals and that you will bring them to a crossroads in their life where they're going to have to make a decision. It's all for Jesus or nothing. So Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. And we ask, O Lord, that for the next number of sessions, the breakout, and our brother Dave, as he comes to us tonight, that we will know what it is to bask in the presence of God. Oh, Father, why would we want anything else? Nothing else would suffice but your presence. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. Continue on the work that you've started. And may mighty things be done for your name's sake and for your glory alone. We ask it in and through Jesus. Amen.